HarperCollins presents Dark Earth by Rebecca Stott. Read by Hannah Morrish. For Elsie and Winnie Rhodes. Perhaps at midnight, when all boundaries are lost, the country reverts to its ancient shape, as the Romans saw it, lying cloudy when they landed, and the hills had no names, and the rivers wound they knew not where. Virginia Woolf, Mrs. Dalloway. Author's note. Around AD 410, after nearly 400 years of occupation, the Romans withdrew their remaining imperial staff and armies from Britain. For a further 400 years, the ruins of the mile-wide city of Londinium lay abandoned. Neither the native Britons nor the steady stream of migrants who came to live among them had any use for the carved stone and towering walls, symbols of a fallen colonial power. Sometime between AD 450 and 550, however, a Saxon woman must have walked across the fallen roof tiles of a derelict Roman bathhouse on the north bank of the Thames, because she dropped her brooch there. Archaeologists discovered it while excavating the site in 1968, after the demolition of the London Coal Exchange. Now, the brooch sits in a small frame on an otherwise empty white wall in the Museum of London. Part 1. Chapter 1. An island in the Thames, circa AD 500. Isla and Blue are sitting up on the mound watching the river creep up on the wrecks and over the black stubs of the old jetties out on the mudflats, waiting for Father to finish his work in the forge. Along the far riverbank, the ghost city, the great line of its long abandoned river wall, its crumbling gates and towers, is making its upside-down face in the river again. "Something's coming, sister," Blue says. "Look." Isla looks. The wind has picked up. It scatters the birds wading on the mudflats. It catches at the creepers that grow along the ghost city wall. It lifts and rustles them like feathers. "Could be rain," Isla says. "The wind's turned." It's late spring. There has been no rain for weeks. No clouds, just the baking, glaring forge fire of the sun. At first, after the long winter, the sisters had welcomed the sun coming in so hot. Dull roots had stirred. Flowers came early. First the primroses and bluebells in the wood, then the tiny spears of the cuckoo pint and the blackthorn blossom in the hedgerows. The bean seedlings had pushed up through the soil in their garden, fingers unfurling into sails. Now the reeds whisper like old bones. The sisters swim in the river when they can steal away from the field or from Father's forge. Around them the sun beats down on the mudflats. Meat turns. Flies gather. Every evening, the sisters climb the mound to watch for the sails of Sayak's boats coming upriver from the sea, the sails of the great wandering tribes from the old country and the drowned lands of their ancestors, all heading west to find new land to farm. Some months, there are no boats at all. Other months, there are four or five, sailing alone or in clusters. Blue gouges a notch into the doorpost for each new sail she sees. "The river is a fire-tongued sword tonight," Blue says. She is making a necklace from the cowslips and the violets she's picked, lost in that half-dreaming mood that takes her sometimes. Isla looks. Blue is right. Between their island and the walls of the ghost city on the far riverbank, the river runs between the mudflats in puckered silvers and golds, blues and reds, just like the swords that Father makes. "What did the Sun Kings know?" Isla says, gazed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?